First Kings 12, verse 25 to 30. First Kings 12, 25 to 30. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there. And he went out from there and built Penuel. Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now the kingdom will return to the house of David. If this people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will return to their Lord, even to Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah." So the king consulted and made two golden calves, and he said to them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold your gods, O Israel, that brought you up from the land of Egypt. He set one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. Now this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can come before you to pray and just to spend time with you, God. Let your presence be manifest here today. This morning we thank you. We welcome you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This story is the story of Jeroboam's downfall. And so I just want to give you a quick background information on who Jeroboam is and what's happening in this story. Jeroboam had an incredible call from the Lord to become king. If you turn just to the previous chapter, chapter 11, and look at verse 38. Chapter 11, verse 38. Jeroboam receives an incredible call from the Lord. It says, "Then it will be that if you listen to all that I command you and walk in my ways and do what is right in my sight by observing my statutes and my commandments, as my servant David did, then I will be with you and build you an enduring house as I built for David, and I will give Israel to you." He receives the same kind of calling that King David received. And we always look at King David as like the king, right? We look at the Davidic covenant that has existed even today to Jesus Christ. And we think, wow, David was a man of God, and he had favor with God. He was God's favorite one, right? We can kind of get that sense as we read through the scriptures. But here in Jeroboam, in this Jeroboam's story, God says to Jeroboam, "I will build you a house like the one that I built for David. I will build you an enduring house like the one I did for David." That's an incredible calling that he receives from the Lord. And if you don't know the story, a few verses before that, God says to Jeroboam, "Hey, I'm going to tear the kingdom away from Solomon. And basically, I'm going to leave him with just two tribes, Benjamin and Judah. And I'm going to give you the rest of the tribes. You will be king over Israel." So what's happening here? You guys know the story of King Saul. He becomes the first king of Israel. Then he fails. King David becomes the next king. And King David's son Solomon becomes the next king. But while King David is son, God says to King David, you will always have a king in your line, right? There will always be a ruler in your line. So he says to David, "I'm going to build you an enduring house." And David does such a good job that continues. But when Solomon becomes king after David, because as he gets older, because of all the women that he married, they are foreign women, and they turn him away from the Lord. And God says, "You know what? I can't let him be king over Israel anymore. So I'm going to tear the kingdom away. I'm going to give 10 to another guy. And Solomon's going to keep two. And that line will keep two." So that's when it divides. So when Solomon dies, his son Rehoboam becomes king. But right before Solomon dies, this is chapter 11, Jeroboam receives this call from the Lord. And that basically says to Jeroboam, "I'm going to give you the kingdom. I'm going to make you the king of Israel." Right? God appears to Jeroboam and says, "I'm going to make you the king of Israel. You're the guy, and if you follow me, if you obey my words, if you just listen to me and do the things that I'm asking you to do, I'm going to make you an enduring house just like I did for David." So he receives this call, and So if you read on, Rehoboam, who becomes king after Solomon, he's faced with a decision. The people come to Rehoboam and say, your father Solomon made us work really, really hard. It was a very hard yoke for us to bear. So can you do something about it? Can you make it a little lighter? And Rehoboam, he's 41 years old when he becomes king. So I feel like, man, he should have been wise enough to know. You know, but he turns to the older men, the advisors in his kingdom, and says, hey guys, what should I do? And they say, King Rehoboam, you should lighten the load. And basically he says, if you lighten the load now and you give the people what they wish, you will win their heart and they will serve you out of love, right? Out of reverence, out of their heart. You will win their heart. And Rehoboam, the scripture says, Rehoboam rejected them, and then he consulted his friends, his buddies, right? And I feel like he just wanted to be macho. Rehoboam just wanted to appear strong. So he talks to his friends, and his friends basically tell him what he wants to hear, which is, you know what? Crush them, right? Crush them. Who do they think they are to ask you, request of you, to lighten the load? Crush their heart, crush them. So Rehoboam says, my little finger is bigger than my father's arm, or something to that effect. My little finger is thicker than my father's arm. You thought my father was harsh. I'm going to make you do even more work. And that's when the people rebel. They say, you know what? We're going to go follow Jeroboam. We don't even have an inheritance in your house. Because Rehoboam was from the house of Judah, tribe of Judah. And they say, forget it. We're just going to go do our own thing. And that's when the kingdom gets divided and Jeroboam becomes king. Okay, so God fulfills his word to Jeroboam that he's going to become king. And eventually the kingdom comes to Jeroboam and Jeroboam becomes king. So up to that point, everything is great. Up to that point, it's like, yeah, God's word came true. God's word is faithful. His promises are true. And Jeroboam is king. And then that's when we turn to this verse. And what happens here in verse 26. In the NASB that we just read, it says, Jeroboam said in his heart. In the NIV, it says, Jeroboam thought to himself. He thought to himself. So what he's doing is he's looking around at the circumstance, at the situation, and he's saying to his own heart, he's thinking to himself, and he says, wait a minute, the temple where the worship of Yahweh is supposed to happen is in Jerusalem, which is in Judah under Rehoboam. And he says, if this continues, if people keep going to the temple to worship the Lord, then I might lose them. They might turn to Rehoboam because they keep going to that land. So Jeroboam thinks in his heart, you know, I better do something. I better do something to make sure that I keep these people following after me. So what he does is he makes these two golden calves, puts them in Bethel and Dan, and he says, these are your gods that brought you out of Egypt, and you'll worship your God here. You don't have to go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is too far for you. You got to worship God here. And he builds these idols. And then it says that became a sin, right? That became a sin because people started worshiping those gods instead of Yahweh. So that's basically what I want to talk about today. He looks at the circumstances, and out of worry and out of fear at the situation, at what he can see, he thinks to himself and he makes the wrong decision. It's kind of similar to the story of Peter, right? Peter is in the boat and Jesus says to Peter, walk on water. So Peter says, Jesus said walk? Okay, I'm going to go. He jumps for it and he goes for it. And then while he's on the waters, he looks around at the circumstances, and that's when he loses his faith. He loses his trust in God, and then he begins to sink. But Jesus is right there to rescue him. But he looks at the circumstances. He looks at what is around him, and he lets the fear and the worry in his heart, he lets those things dictate his decision-making process. And that becomes his downfall. That's Jeroboam's downfall. So if you look at this story, God has led him to this point. You know, God is the one that said to him, I'm going to give you the kingdoms, I'm going to make you king. And then God leads him to become king. But for whatever reason, at that point, he starts doubting and he stops trusting that God's going to take care of him now that he is king. He thinks he needs to do it on his own. So I want to ask, you know, our church, brothers and sisters here, God has led you thus far, and why would he leave you alone now? You know, God has led you to this point in your life, in your walk with God, in your careers, in your families. God has brought you to this point. So why would you think that from now on it's all on your own and you have to do it all your, you know, you have to take matters into your own hand and start, you know, making decisions based on what you can see and the worry and the fear that goes on in your heart. My father is okay, but my mom and myself and maybe my brother too, probably, we're quite prone to fear and worry. You know, my mom has always kind of struggled with worry. You know, even when I was growing up, I remember she was often very worrisome and a little sad, a little bit like, you know, she just likes to prepare ahead of time. She's the type of person when it's 7:25 right now, and she will be like, guys, it's almost 8. You know, you got to finish your message. It's almost 8 o'clock. You got to. She's just like that. She's that kind of a personality. And my father is totally not. He's just like, no, God's going to provide. Let's just go for it. And you remember, they're missionaries. So God, dad's here. He's like, we don't have any money, but it's okay. You know, God will provide. And my mom's like constantly worried, like, what are we going to do? So that was one of the reasons why it was difficult at home at times. But I mean, so I think I've inherited that. We know that we get good inheritance and bad inheritance from our parents. So I think that's not something that I've inherited. But, you know, praise God, I've been growing and learning a lot to trust God and to not worry as much. But I'm prone to this, you know, fear and worry. And so my brother and I, we were talking, he was basically telling me a few years back, he said, fear and worry, if you struggle with fear and if you have a lot of worry, he explained this, it's like you're looking at a future situation, right? You're looking at the future, and from this point on, when you look at the future, you have no evidence. I mean, who knows what's going to happen in the future? Nobody knows, right? There's not much of a basis to think what will happen in the future. But you're standing here and you're looking at the future, and you're thinking, man, the future is going to be terrible. You know, that's like fear and worry. You know, you have really, you don't have much of a basis to kind of predict what's going to happen in the future. But you're sitting here and you're looking at the future and you think, oh, it's just not going to be very good. You know, you think, oh, man, something's going to go wrong and something bad's going to happen. And then you just get filled with worry and fear. There is no evidence for the worry. You know, there's no evidence that it's going to be bad. I mean, there's no evidence that it's going to be awesome either. There's just no evidence. There's no, you just don't, I mean, we don't, no one knows the future. But the future is going to come. So I feel like, you know, you have a choice. You can either choose to approach the future thinking that it's going to be terrible and everything's going to go wrong and the worst is going to happen. Or you can approach the future and think that everything's going to be okay. You know? Like God's got me. God's with me. Everything is going to be okay. When I became a pastor, when I entered into the ministry, you know, again, this fear and worry, this kind of thing was in my heart. So I had a real hard time going into ministry, and I thought, oh, I had all this doubt, you know. I was like, oh, I'm going to be a pastor, but yeah, I don't know, just a negative personality. So I was thinking, oh, it's going to be terrible. I don't think I've consciously said it, but in my heart, what was going on was, I'm going to be a terrible pastor, and I don't know why. I was like, this is going to be bad, and that's going to be bad. I just had all these thoughts. And it was just the inner turmoil. I was like, oh, I don't know. And then, you know, I went to God. And I don't remember the exact situation, how it happened. But I remember God spoke to me one day in my prayers, in my quiet time with him, and he just said, Nate, you're going to be a great pastor. I just said, you're going to be a great pastor. And then I came to realize, yeah, I mean, if God has called me to enter into ministry, why do I, you know, and I've already entered into it, you know, why do I think, oh, now I have to do everything on my own and I have to make sure I do this well and do that well, and you know, it's all, I'm all on my own. No, that's not true. God, he's the one that called me, and he's going to be with me. He's going to watch over me, and he's going to make sure that I do a good job. And so that's really helped me. Ever since that time, I don't really struggle with that worry, you know, as much. You know, I just think, yeah, I mean, God's called me. He's going to be with me. He's going to make sure that I'm doing okay. The two things that I see in church sometimes that happens, like the story of Jeroboam, is with work and with baby. You know, we've heard of people that are praying for work, and they've go through a long period of unemployment maybe, and they get the job. But when they get the job, I mean, so that is like Jeroboam becoming king. God has provided for you a job, and it's awesome. But for whatever reason, when they get the job and they go into it and they see that it's difficult or it's not what they expected or whatever, it's like, it's you know, it's work is work, right? No work's going to be easy. And then they think, oh, I have to do it on my own. And then, you know, because Jeroboam did was he made two other gods and he placed them before the real God. And I think sometimes people do that when they get a new job and all of a sudden their job becomes their God, you know, and they stop trusting the Lord that provided them the job and trust him to help you to do a good job in your work. They think, no, I better do everything that I need to do. And, you know, and people, they, I don't know, they skip church or they skip house church, and you know, it's, you just see them, even though God is the one that provided them the job, they stop trusting the Lord that provided them and they start trusting in themselves. You know, they start trusting in their bosses and their job. With their baby, you know, people pray for a long time for a baby to come, and when the baby comes, I mean, it's great, but that's a lot of work. There's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of unknowns. And they stop trusting the one that provided them the baby. They start making an idol out of the baby, right? And they think, everything I have to make sure that everything is okay for the baby. Everything is okay for my child. And nothing can come before their child, but that can't be the case. God has to come before your child, right? No matter how precious your child is. And so, I mean, those are the two things that we see at work. At church, oftentimes, but yeah. So at this time, let's just invite the Holy Spirit to come. I want to just ask you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, just in your current situation, whatever God has brought you to. I know some of you have just entered into a new job, and but there might be other things, you know, that God, I mean, God has brought you to this point, right? God has led you thus far. So don't let fear and worry grip your heart and you know, corrupt your decision-making process, right? Where you start putting your hope and your trust in something else, but trust in the one that gave you this thing, right? Trust in the one that led you to this point. Trust that he will continue to lead you. The matter is not in your own hands now. It was never in your own hands, and it will continue to remain in God's hands. So we can trust him. So God, I just ask Holy Spirit to come and speak to us, God, just in our about our own situations, and help us to put our faith in you and to trust you. Help us not to be like Jeroboam, God, that it is so tragic. Lord, he has such an awesome calling, and he just gave it all away because of fear and worry. And I pray that we will not make the same mistake. So come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Let's spend a moment just repenting. You know, repenting before God. If we have put our trust in something else, you know, if we are trusting in ourselves or trusting in, just something else other than God in our work. Even in ministry, I think it's possible to not trust God and just and praying for people doing ministry, just making decisions on my own based on what I think is going to be more popular or more well-received or whatever, you know? So let's just really pray. Let's repent before God if we have done that. And let's say to God, Lord, you are the faithful one. We want to put our hope in you. We want to put our trust in you. Let's pray. Let's go to our community prayer. Let's pray for those that are going through cancer or chemo or surgery. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray with faith. Let's pray fervently. Let's pray with love for our friends, family members on this list. Let's pray together. Let's go to the second slide. Let's pray for those that need healing as well as salvation. Let's pray for God to move powerfully. Let's pray. Let's go to the third slide. Let's pray for those that are have various infirmities going on in our church. Let's pray for healing for them. Let's go to the fourth slide. Pray for those of us that are looking for a job. Let's pray for provision and favor and God's guidance for them. Let's pray. Let's go to our Tuesday prayer focus. For Hong Kong, let's pray. Let's pray for our government. Let's pray regarding the wealth gap here, that God will bring about justice, you know, in this land. Let's pray for revival here in this city. Let's pray for the churches. Let's pray for all these different ministries that we have a relationship with. And let's just lift up Hong Kong. Let's pray the Spirit of God to sweep across this land. Let's pray. Let's pray for the staff. Pastor Sam is away in Florida, but he should be coming back this week. He was ministering at Eric Lehman's church, so let's pray that he will come back safely. Let's pray for his family. Pray for all the other pastors and leaders and their families, and pray that the staff will be able to just hear from God. Pray for unity amongst the staff, and that we would work really hard to build God's kingdom here in this place. Let's pray for the staff. Let's pray for the worship and the sound and the media team. Pray for a heart of worship, heart of excellence, and attention to detail. And let's pray that many people will be blessed through this ministry. So let's pray for the worship, sound, and media team. Let's pray for Arts Anonymous. Pray for just creativity, spread, and website, and whatever else they get involved with in terms of using art to worship God, using art to bless the church. Let's pray that that God would lead this ministry. Let's pray together. Pray for the house churches meeting today. Let's pray that God would bless each and every house church, that Spirit of God will move in a powerful way, that people will not just discuss and talk about being a son, but they would Holy Spirit will touch their hearts tonight. So let's pray for our house churches. Thank you. Lastly, let's pray for the men's retreat coming up this weekend. Let's pray for Tyler as he and the men's ministry team as they lead and organize this time. Let's pray for I think his name is Rick Lehman, the pastor that's coming to speak to us. So let's pray for that for a time. And let's also pray for the women's service on Sunday, that they'll also have a wonderful, awesome, powerful time as Lauren gives the word. So let's pray for these two things happening this weekend. Father, we thank you and we worship you in this place, God. We just want to say that we trust you, Lord, that you are our faithful one, God. Help us not to be like Jeroboam in our work, in our family, in our relationships, but help us to always remember, God, you know, how, what you have done and how you have led us thus far, and that you will not fail us now, God, you know. That you will always be with us. You will always lead us and guide us, God. And so help us to trust you. Help us to stop and, you know, just come to you and pray to you and consult with you, God, before making decisions, before just, trusting ourselves to do things. So I just pray that we will not put anything else before you, thank you for being our good, good Father, God. We love you. Just pray for your blessing over each person as they go to work. I pray that you would walk with them and help them to just have a wonderful day today. God, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. God bless you guys. See you tomorrow.